Right, this week's episode of Magnifier, we have Charles Arive of X Concept joining us. Welcome, Charles.
Thank you for having me, Paolo. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, we've done a lot of work with Charles at Showcase. He's always, you know, top of mind when it comes to recommendation stuff, because you produce quality work every single time. So people are always really happy with the results. So felt like you were a very appropriate early guest to have on here to kind of talk about everything real estate and marketing based. You want to give everybody a little overview of you, your history in the business of doing what you do, and how the X Concept came to be?
So, yeah, I grew up in France. Mm-hmm. Went to business school over there. And my last year of business school, I did an internship for an advertising agency in Paris and saw their business model. Decided to move to the United States to live my American dream when I was 22. And shortly after, I created my company, The X Concept. So that's been over 21 years ago.
Oh, wow.
22 now. Yeah, I'm 44 years old. So created this company and applied the same business model of the advertising agency I was working with in France, which was at the beginning of the website design era, as well as traditional marketing. Following that, 22 years later, here I am working with 65 plus clients on all types of marketing, some within the real estate industry, which are heavily involved with Showcase IDX, yeah, as well as other clients. So when it comes to Showcase, what happened is 4 years ago, I developed a website for a client of mine, was looking for the best IDX software available online, made my research, looked at WordPress plugins, and found Showcase was very highly reviewed. So I told my client to sign up with Showcase. We signed up, showed the website to the Showcase team after we completed it. And the person at that time sent me in contact with Kurt Huler, mm-hmm, the CMO of Showcase IDX. And we started talking and figured out there was a synergy when it comes to, you know, the view that we had on getting real estate agents more successful. And it was the beginning of a great story that's been lasting the past 4 years, yeah, and going to go in the years to come.
Yeah. So 22 years, that's a long time. What would you say has changed the most from when you started to now, especially with marketing, like tactics and ways of going about reaching people and creating engagement with consumers?
So the thing is, like, the tools that we are using now are much more easy to work with than what was done before. When I started developing websites, for example, I had to code everything, which means it was very time consuming. It was very precise, character by character. It's a good thing that gave me knowledge of coding, meaning, you know, 14 years ago, I started using WordPress as a content management system, a CMS, mm-hmm, and it made websites much quicker to develop. So when before you had to take 3 months, 4 months to develop a website, now within 2 weeks, I can have a real estate agent up online. And I have some testimonial that I can provide to you of recent client that we've set up in less than a week.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Using tools, now everything is much more accessible for people with not experts to use some tools. The latest example is GPT-3, right, which is artificial intelligence copywriting.
Yeah.
It doesn't solve everything, but if you use it right and with the right knowledge, it can be a very valuable tool for you. On the other hand, it prevents people from acquiring knowledge that they would have acquired otherwise.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing. On the strategic side, there's been a lot of examples of things that have been very helping. And what I mean by that is when Facebook first came out in 2008, big revolution. Everyone was on Facebook. Everyone was on MySpace before that, but that was not very business-like. Then Facebook showed up. Then Instagram showed up. And that's something that works really well. Then TikTok showed up. And TikTok was first people dancing. And you're like, I'm not going to put any interest in that. Now people, whatever they post on Instagram, they also post it on TikTok. It gives a way for people to broadcast information to a large number of people they can acquire using creative ways. LinkedIn, also a very valuable social network that people underestimate when it comes to marketing. Also, I see a lot of things with real estate marketing, that there are some companies that provide automated content. And that's something I discourage all my clients to use. And I'm not going to give any names because, you know, we all know which sources those people are. Because sometimes on my Facebook or my LinkedIn feeds, where I have my some of my clients and other real estate agents as well, you see four times the same post at the same time on by four different people, and they group them up. That publishes results on your website and creates duplicate content. That's the last thing Google algorithm wants to see, is duplicate content on different websites, because that will hurt your Google rankings. Google algorithm is very smart, but it can only read your website. It cannot see it. So that's where I see the things going on. It's like we are getting monitored and tracked by systems that can provide us good success, like Google. And we have to be very careful of the information we output out there.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about ChatGPT. I actually have a friend who works for them, so I hear a lot of the goings on there. And we're always talking about, you know, the gift and the curse of it. You know, like you said, there's so many good things that come from it, but then there's also the side of people overuse it and don't learn things. And it's the same across the board, right? Like the automated marketing is great in some respects because it takes stuff off your hands, but then it could hurt your Google rankings. It could, you know, if someone sees the same post four times, you're gonna maybe discredit yourself a little bit because it doesn't seem as genuine.
That's the thing. It's lacking one thing that real estate agents need: personality, heart, and soul. If you want to work with a machine, you can. But will that machine understand your feelings and how you are going to feel as a client when you're going to make the biggest, most likely the biggest purchase of your life, which is a home? We're not talking about a $5 trinket. We're talking something in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. You want to make sure you make the right decision and have personal contact with the person.
Yeah.
For example, on some of my clients' website, I install a chatbot module. But in this specific case, I disable the bots. And that chat version goes directly on their cell phone. Someone wants to reach them, they do not have to pick up their phone. They just go and click on the chat feature, and they can text the real estate agent immediately, who will get a notification on their cell phone. That way you facilitate communication, but it's not with a bot. It's not with a machine. It is with the person that you are building a relationship with. So from the real estate agent side, it's great because they are able to have access to their clients very quick. And on the buyer's or the seller's side, they are able to talk to a real person, not to a machine who will give them canned answers, because every single property, every single client, every single solution is different. You're trying to buy, I don't know, a candle. What does your candle smell like? Cedar, pepper, and jasmine. Okay, that's a canned answer because you have one product that's all said and done.
Yeah.
You're talking about a home, every single home or property, every single home or property is different. So that canned answer will be wrong 99.9% of the time.
Yeah.
So that's the personal touch is really key.
Yeah.
And that's what I focus my business on for the past 22 years, is I'm being the single point of contact that every single client, for every single one of my clients. What I mean by that is all my clients have my cell phone number. Mm-hmm. They can always text me or call me for anything they need. And I'll be there for them, not having for them to go through different people within the organization who, at the end of the day, will take more time to resolve the question that they have. And also, they cannot remember who they are in contact with. So giving them a personal touch and knowing that, you know, that I'm involved in every single one of their businesses.
So how do you help facilitate that through, I mean, you talked about the chat feature. Are there any other things you do in terms of the website design that helps get that personal touch across or that connection with people? Because I know that's quite hard on a website, but are there any ways you kind of help do that?
So, yes, first of all, install Showcase IDX. That will give them the best results. That is the number one thing.
Check.
After that, making sure they talk about themselves.
Yeah.
You want to build rapport. What happens? You're an avid golfer. You find a realtor that plays golf. Okay, great. The realtor figures, you know, they will talk about it. Realtor's like, all right, let's have a meeting for your listing. We can meet at the house. Oh, and let's go play golf afterwards.
Yeah.
You have 4.5 hours to talk to your potential client and build rapport with them.
Yeah.
You have a dog that you love more than anything. Okay, cool. Your realtor photo can have your dog with you. People will build rapport one way or another.
Yeah.
And if you can give that personal touch on the website and on everything, like I have a client that I just worked with, Jane Carhart. She lives in the islands in Washington State. She loves boats. She had boats. She was on her website when her photos at the helm of her boat. What more do you want for a realtor in the islands? Knowing where you can dock the boat, how everything works. It just gives her automatic validation by her clients that she knows her area.
Yeah.
Automatic. And that's what makes her so one of the reasons why it made her so successful. Okay, she's also an awesome real estate agent and had like a big experience in luxury real estate in other states. But for this area, she hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, right, it's just finding what's going to connect with the most amount of people in the simplest of ways, right? So because there's so much competition in real estate, especially because it's just a saturated area. If people go into real estate for one reason or the other, it's actually a great industry to be in, but it's hard to be successful in.
Exactly. And I don't think it's to connect with the most amount of people. It's more having the most amount of people connect with you.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So I see it more in that way.
Yeah,
it's not to farm yourself to try to reach out to the most people, but to find the right people to be able to connect with you on a specific subject.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I found that when I was an agent, it was, you know, I never really created a niche for myself where I had specific types of clients looking at specific properties. I was all over the place. And that's probably one reason that I didn't end up making it a full-time career was because of that. Like, I think that's a really good way of putting it, that you want to create the deepest or the most connection or most people connect, have connections with you versus the other way around. That's a really good way of looking at it. And I think people's marketing could make some tweaks in that respect. And they might see some success from that for sure.
Yeah, that's number one. And that's just the thing that will get people to come into you and find you. Yeah. So, for example, someone searches on Google, gets to your website, people click on it, look at the listing, then they go see who you are. Who is that agent? Okay, I get information. And you're going to qualify yourself first by the information you provide the client. And second of all, with who you are. And the most important thing that I will see with people is being more than a local guide. You want them to be a hyper local guide. And I'm going to give you a very simple example. I live in a little city just north of San Diego, California, called La Jolla, which is like the nice part of San Diego, right by the coast and everything. You are around an area where there's homes, one bedrooms around $500,000, called the La Jolla Village. You go a mile away, you're in La Jolla Farms, where most homes are around between, I don't know, $9 and $15 million. We're talking a mile away.
Yeah.
Most people and most realtors will market it to La Jolla properties. But the person who's looking for La Jolla Farms properties will be looking for $9 to $15 million. And people who will be looking for La Jolla Village properties will be looking for $500,000. Both properties are great. Both sales are good. Any realtor will be happy to make any of those sales, yeah. But the client who will be looking for something will looking for something very precise. People are have access to a zillion informations, and they know what they want.
Yeah.
And they know what they don't want. So if they can find exactly what they want by the use of a search engine or something, you might want to be the guy who's on top of that. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, everything that my clients do is really based on being very precise and showing them information they don't want and not showing them information, you know, and showing them information they want and not showing them information they don't want that you can find somewhere else on the website. But yeah. From Google results, you'll be very precise and you will rank much higher than other people who will be very broad on their out of their spectrum.
Yeah. So while we're kind of on the SEO vibe, is that, would you say, the main source of lead generation for the people that work with you, or do you run more ad campaigns, or you're producing content on social that people are engaging with? What would you say is the main lead generation source for?
I focus mostly on SEO.
Yeah.
Because most real estate agents are tech savvy when it comes to social media. So I can give them some strategic vision, some tactical vision. But when it comes to the execution, they're able to do it themselves. It's very easy with Instagram, with Facebook. People know how to post on Instagram and photos of their cat on Facebook. Everyone does that. So doing that for real estate, they can do it the same way. SEO, on the other hand, it's a little more complicated because we're dealing with something else. So yes. Now, when it comes to PPC, pay-per-click, so yeah. SEM, search engine marketing, Google ads and all that, mm-hmm. It's the easiest way to throw money by the window. Easiest. Because if you don't use the right terms, it's costing you a lot of money per click. For results, there are sometimes just people fishing around. So you want to be very careful when it comes to that and make sure that you analyze your organic keywords first, the one that people use for your SEO. And you can see how many times you show up on impressions, how many clicks, your click-through ratio. And from there, if there's areas that you want to focus on, yes, now you can put some budget down there. But that's not going to happen over a month. You're going to want to do monthly analysis. You want to go to the 6-month analysis and a yearly analysis and run through all that data. Let's put it this way. Apart from people like me and, you know, all my peers that do the same thing as I do, no one wants to do that because it's not exactly the most fun thing to do, but it's so useful. And I don't see an agent do it because, you know, combing through pages and pages of CSV files, that there's just text and numbers, is boring.
Yeah.
Don't get me. But it's very useful. And if you do that the same way and work with the right person who has that knowledge and is able to come through that very quickly because of skill acquired over the years, then it makes it very effective. Now, if you do it wrong, all your marketing budget, you know, just take it and put it in a trash can. It's the exact same way. It won't bring you anything.
Yeah. And I guess it's that inbound versus outbound. You know, you've got people that find you when it comes to SEO versus you're going out and finding people. And I used to pay for leads, essentially. I'd pay companies to go and run Facebook ads and they'd get me buyer leads and things like that. Nothing ever came of them. No. It doesn't matter how good your follow-up is sometimes. It's just they clicked on something and thought they were getting their home value, but instead they're getting me at the other ends trying to sell them houses and things like that, versus if they find you, they're obviously already looking for something.
Yes. And looking for your home value is always a good thing, that you're able to create leads through that. And Showcase has a very good system. There are other systems out there, but Showcase has a good system. So that's already integrated, so you don't have to add anything on top. And that will be something good for people. You know, if someone is looking for their home value, there's two things. They either want to sell it or they want to refinance.
Yeah.
So you have one shot out of two to be able to grab that lead and be like, hey, you know, trying to sell it or trying to refinance? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then you get a conversation with them. From then on, they become a qualified lead if they reply to your message.
Yeah.
If they just want to be like, oh, no, I'm just looking around. All right, cool. No worries. I have other like warmer leads than you. But that gives you something where you have lead nurturing. Meaning if the person is trying to refinance and with the mortgages the way they are right now, that's the last thing they want to do. They might want to sell their home and downsize because the kids have moved out, or upsize because they have kids on the way, or they want to change area.
Yeah.
And you're able to start a connection with them. And that's like lead nurturing, because you will be able to communicate with them on a kind of a broader view, which, you know, more like by email campaigns. And you don't want to push sales on them. You don't want to push anything because you don't know what they want yet.
Yeah.
So you can give them more of a wide type of content that, you know, like blog articles that you wrote about your area, things to do, market trends. But market trends with a personal touch. You don't want to send them like, you know, automated stuff. You want to be like, oh, you know, very niche. You want to start hitting different niches. And then you go back to your email marketing software and you look if who clicked on what they did, what their engagement is. And from there, you may give them a call. Yeah. Like, you know, hi, Paolo, how are you? I saw you, you read that. What do you think? Is that value raised translating in your home? Have you had people making offers on it, even if it's not on the market? Oh, you might want to list it. Okay. Yeah. And you engage the conversation and you're already going down your sales cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I'd make videos with the market reports. So there was, you know, people would see my face and my voice. I'd cringe at the green screen graphics I was using when I did them, but that's like you said, just a little personal touch. Do you actually spend time working on the follow-up with clients, or do you just do the market, like the initial attention grab, and then let the agent do the follow-up?
Yes, most likely the agent does the follow-up. Yeah. Because they don't want to talk to me, because first of all, I'm not an agent.
Well, not in terms of you talking to the customer, but are you helping the agents do it? Because the way you're talking, it sounds like you know what you're talking about. You know the right things to do.
I helped a few of them.
Yeah.
Now the whole thing for them is budget.
Right.
You always get what you pay for. And I got to say, I'm not cheap.
Yeah.
So I would rather train them on how to do it themselves so they don't have to use me. So everything we do is for example, I help them when they want to create content on their website. If they have even basic computer knowledge, I will show them the back end of the website, how they can write a blog post, the best practices. And we will do that just like we're doing right now on Zoom.
Yeah.
Because I work with agents all around the country. And from there, we will do a share screen. And on that share screen video, they will have full control of their screen. And I will tell them exactly where they need to click, what they need to do, and everything. And just like this podcast, everything will be recorded. So whenever they want to do it again, they can watch the video if they forgot how to do it. And sometimes, you know, the frequency per Google algorithm. And that's what I tell my clients. And I'm going to ask you the same question. You're a married man, right?
Who, me? No, yeah. Not anymore. Not anymore. I was.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. So imagine the thing. Sorry about that. It's a dating thing, for example. When you start dating someone, you text them every morning. You say good morning. You text them every night. You say good night. You text them a little bit in the meantime. But imagine if someone is texting you 45 times in one day, and then you don't hear from them for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
A little bit of a red flag. That's what Google algorithm sees. If you go with it with regularity, that thing will push you to the right steps. Now, if you publish 18 blog posts in one day, and then you don't write anything for 6 months, Google algorithm is like, yeah, he doesn't care about me anyway. Yeah, I'm not going to rank him. And that's where the regularity comes in on your content marketing. So I will train them with all this.
Yeah.
I will give them, you know, some inside real estate marketing and outside real estate marketing experience when it comes to sales cycles, when it comes to follow-up, when it comes to nurturing, when it comes to that. But mostly those people, the people I deal with, have been agents for a while. They know that part because they were able to do it without technology. I just bring technology into their life.
Yeah. So on the SEO, it's kind of a two-part question. I'm asking this knowing how the mind of an agent would think. One, just some basic minimal things you should be doing to enhance your SEO. I mean, you mentioned blog posts, things like that. And then two, if you can, put a time frame on, if you're doing these steps, when should you or could you expect to see some kind of results from it? Because we know SEO does take a while.
Yes. So I'm going to get you on a few things. First of all, you will never hear me say the word should.
Mm-hmm.
because things will happen or they will not, but it's not that they should happen. If you put the work, they will show up, but there's not a should. Yeah. So I see it that way, that if you, the more content you output, the quicker your SEO will grow within the regularity, within, you know, having the right subjects, the right content, the right practices. It can start picking up quite quick if you put the work behind it. And by that, what I mean by quite quick, and you will start getting results immediately. And it's the thing is, it's out about, you know, the slope of the curve you want to do. If you can do, like, you know, one post a month, one post every 2 weeks, one post every week, then you might plateau because you're doing with something that is local, that is a region, that is regional. And if you're getting a zillion leads for your real estate services in an area that is 8 hours from where you live, might not be worth it. So I'm saying, like, you go for geolocation. People will look within 25 miles of where you're located. That's number one. Yeah. Number two, output the right content that is talking to your clients. Three, the regularity. And four, I want to say, try to be as niche and precise as you can be, because that will keep everything, you know, getting a broader spectrum on those niches.
Yeah.
And when it comes to SEO and compared to pay-per-click, I want to say that pay-per-click is like filling a vase. Do you have a faucet and you turn it on? Water comes up. You stop. Pay-per-click, where you cancel your Google budget, turn off the faucet, nothing else happens. SEO is like building a fire. Put a few logs to start with, fire starts burning a little bit. Keep putting more logs. Your fire will always be burning. And that doesn't cost you much. And at the end of the day, when SEO is implemented within the algorithm, it can keep growing. Or it can stay pretty much the way it is. Sometimes it can go down a little bit, depending on, you know, activity and seasonality.
Yeah.
But it will always be there. While your pay-per-click, it might be lower on the page, but it will still be there because the content is active.
Yeah.
While pay-per-click, it just stop, nothing, you know, next.
So, and you, in terms of frequency, because I know what it's like. Because it happened to me too. You get discouraged after a while. You might be doing, like, after 3 months, you've been posting once a week, twice a week, and you're just not seeing the results. Is that because it just takes that long, or is it? Do you think if that's a situation that they're just not writing the right things, the content they're creating is just not hitting the right marks?
But it's not only that. There's something with this, number one, and the quality of content is one thing. And the second thing is how you are linked to the Google algorithm. Is Google actually seeing your site? Are you connected to the right services? Mm-hmm. Number, that's the thing, you know. You can build the most beautiful house there. If you don't put a door, people can't come in.
So it's like, just, you know, expand on that in terms of the right services. What do you mean by that?
Google Search Console.
Okay.
No one knows about it. I mean, not many people, not enough people know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, connect yourself to Google Search Console. Put your sitemaps out there. That's something that I provide to all my clients. And you can see results growing right away because, you know, Google algorithm knows that your site website is there and you can track that performance.
Yeah.
Instead of having Google trying to go there, trying to find your sitemap without you doing anything. Yes, you will create some things, but if not at the same speed.
Yeah. All right, so, I mean, that kind of leads me on to my next line of question was, you know, so that's obviously a mistake that people make when they have a business or they're a real estate agent, that they're not connecting their site to GSC. What other mistakes do you see agents making when it comes to marketing? For their, you know, they're putting too much effort into one thing or the other, or they're spending money on things they should be allocating to other areas. What would you say, like, the top three mistakes you've come across are?
First mistake I see is not hiring me to develop their website. No, I'm just kidding.
That's your first, second, and third mistake.
I don't think agents make mistakes.
Interesting.
Because they do what they feel right, what they feel is right.
Yeah.
I'm saying is trust experts on what they do. Don't try to overwhelm yourself and try to do too many things at once. Better do one thing really well than doing three things average, and outsource the things you cannot do. Yeah. That's what I would say. They're great at selling homes. They know their properties. They know their areas. They know the mortgage rates. They know the paperwork. They know escrows. They know all that, right? That's a real estate agent.
Yeah.
I won't be able to do that. I have no idea how to do that. Trust experts. You want to get SEO done? You want to get a website developed? Oh, yeah, you did a website before for your sister or your cousin. He went to school for this and this and that. That won't cut it. You can add content? Yes, sure. No problem. That's fine. That's part of your wheelhouse. When it comes to developing a website, you have knowledge that, you know, some people have acquired, like me, for over 20 years. Makes me an old guy? Maybe. But at the end of the day, do that. Other thing, don't think about the cost of setup of your website. You have big name companies that will charge you heaps of money every month for a website where you'll just be a number. Better to put some money down at first and then have recurring fees of Showcase IDX, of your hosting, having everything within your budget that you can control, instead of depending on another company that pretty much is holding you on a monthly contract.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Using the right tools. Showcase IDX integrates really, really well with Follow Up Boss. Very easy to integrate. Great results. All my clients do that. Don't use service providers that you find through websites like Fiverr, Upwork, and all those things. They don't know the product. And if you know how many people I saved out of websites that have been developed by those type of people, and we're not seeing any results. Oh, yeah, they didn't pay much for it. Always get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And after that, I have to rebuild something for them, and they pay what they were supposed to pay plus what they paid to that guy.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean, there was one provider, I won't say who it was, that we had talked about you doing some work to kind of undo what had been done. And the way that they created the site, it would have cost more money than it would have you just built from scratch, because you'd take you more time to undo it.
Exactly.
So what kind of things should people look out for when they're selecting a web developer or a marketing agency? Are there any red flags that could prevent, you know, people could identify and prevent, you know, wasting time and money on something that's not going to work for them?
So in this case, we're on a Showcase IDX podcast. Yeah. So people who will listen to this podcast will have a vision of Showcase IDX. There are several companies that are vetted by Showcase IDX that are on the partners page.
Yeah.
Mine and others. That means that Showcase IDX is putting their trust and their name behind those people. If those people were not doing good work, they wouldn't put you wouldn't put your name behind it. So look at the partners page. Simple as that. Doesn't have to be me, can be others. They're doing great work. Everyone has their specificities. And go from there. Don't try to find your cousin's husband who's, you know, whose stepbrother learned that in college.
Yeah.
You might get lucky. But if you have the time to go through that and it can save you a couple bucks, and you're willing to risk it all for a couple of bucks, sure, go for it. No problem. Yeah. Now, if Showcase IDX put their name behind some providers, it's because they trust them. And trust is the easiest thing to lose and the hardest thing to acquire. So if people went to that trust, yeah, trust them.
Yeah. No, we do put a lot of effort into who we select for that. We do have certain requirements that need to be made in order to be featured there. So that is a very good point. All right, man. Yeah, there was a lot of good information here. I think we'll wrap it up there. I'm trying to get this podcast nice and concise now, because I know time is valuable for people. Is there anything else you want to share in terms of new things you're doing, just business as usual? I'm sure you're always busy.
Yeah, always running around and working with so many clients. And I'm the happiest when I see their success and you see their growth when it comes to either numbers or clients that they acquired. Yeah. Or when they come back to me, like, everything is doing great. Thank you so much for everything you've done and helped me go to the next step. And yeah, that's what, you know, fills my heart. So
good. Yeah. So everybody can find you at thexconcept.com, right?
Yes, exactly. And you can book a meeting directly through a Calendly link on my website if you want to talk, and consultations are free. And after that, we can talk about what, you know, how we can get your business to the next step.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, man. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.